year that made me.
The year that made me.
The year that made me.
What year made you, I wonder? Yes, it is our new best favourite segment on Sunday Extra. We meet interesting people, we talk to them, and we ask them about a life turning point, the moment in time when their life changed, the year that made them. Now, my guest this morning, she is the winner of the UK Funny Women Award. However, she's Canadian.
I'm actually not.
Oh.
I am.
You are?
But I'm Irish. I'm an Irish citizen.
Hang on. So
I grew up in Canada.
You're a UK funny woman. You're Canadian, but you're Irish.
Yeah, that's all right. We are a cultural melting pot now, this world. I don't know where I'm from anymore.
We're now going to give people a clue as to your identity.
Ooh.
I talk funny because I come from Canada, but I live in the UK now, which can be very confusing. But no, I'm just like you. I'm a British mom. I'm your typical British mom, really. A young, uneducated immigrant. That's great.
Catherine Ryan That's is the me. Name to the voice.
Hi.
Catherine, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me on.
It's our pleasure entirely. Your year is 2006. Mm-hmm. That's fairly recent history.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't remember anything before 2006. See, a friend of mine told me this very comforting thing for those who hold grudges or who perhaps regret things that they did or decisions that they've mm-hmm. made. Every 7 years, cellularly, we're completely different. All your brain cells and your heart cells and your skin cells and your lung cells, all of your cells after 7 years are completely new.
Does it all happen at once?
No.
Oh.
No, there's not just one day, Jonathan. We wake up, be like, I'm Korean now. It's so cool to me because I think that people say, oh, look back on your life. I think we have a collection of lives. I've always thought that. And 2006 was about 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Was it 7 years? A little bit more.
Yeah, around that.
And I am from a very small town in Canada that's very close to America, actually. It's called Sarnia. It sounds a bit...
If you say so.
Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. And it's very near to where Justin Bieber is from as well. So nowhere very culturally rich. It's kind of where fun goes to die. But then I went to uni in Toronto, which is the big city. And I didn't know what I wanted to do, but I knew that I wanted to live in the big city. I think you should always follow your instincts, even if you're not clear. And we put all this pressure on teenagers to be really clear. Where are you going to go? What are you going to do? What are you going to study? We don't know. So I just went to the big city. I went for urban and regional planning at a university right downtown. And I was poor, as many students are in a big city, and I got a waitressing job. So I walked to this waitressing job and got lost, trying to take, you know, the trams and the subways. I thought, oh, where am I? It's hot, and I've got Irish skin, and it was in a black uniform. I was like, oh. And then I came upon like a beacon, like a savior in the middle of Toronto, the Hooters. And it was, of course, a very popular international eatery for sports on TV, beer, chicken wings, and scantily clad young women.
A time-honored combination.
Yeah. As a 19-year-old, I didn't realize that it was a bad idea to participate in any industry that puts women for decoration. But I went in. I said, if I worked at Hooters, I'd be at work by now. So I went in and they gave me a job.
That is the worst excuse in the world.
I'm very lazy. And it was really fun. It turned out to be this amazing experience where I met so many really interesting, like-minded young women. And it was the strong women who were funny and had some chat who really flourished at Hooters, which is not a topless bar, by the way, but, you know, it's still
tight t-shirt kind of territory.
Yeah. And I really enjoyed myself. I made lifelong friendships there. And the women who really did well there were the really cool, smart ones. But you had to keep a cap on your chat. You had to be friendly without ever being moderately offensive. Like, not at all. You had to be almost like this vacuous.
But you must have wanted to be offensive.
No.
No?
No. I've always
had that guy over there at table 14.
Not at all. The customers were very respectful, and kids eat free
Canada,
on weekends.
Of course.
Yeah, is that what it was? Canada. Oh, yeah. Oh, I forgot it was in Canada. Of course. Everyone's just saying sorry all the time. Lovely people. But I always had this weird voice in the back of my head saying, just kind of outlandish things, funny things. And the town that I grew up in, that environment, it was not okay to be that way. You wanted to be a decoration, like quiet and pretty and soft. And we always want the opposite of what we have. That's all I ever wanted my entire life, is to just be quiet and soft and sweet. And Hooters, that is the archetype, just a cheerleader, a vacuous kind of Britney Spears before it all went wrong. Like, oh, hi, welcome to Hooters. And one of my responsibilities there was the chalkboard. The chalkboard. I got to write lunch specials on the chalkboard. I'd been in trouble already just for my sassy mouth.
What did you write?
I wrote club sandwiches, not seals. And in Canada, it was a very sensitive political time.
Ooh.
I know. And they freaked out.
Mm.
And it was this big scandal. I was accused of racism because apparently wanting to club seals is a race. There was a fisherman in the restaurant at the time who just lost it. And the manager came out, screamed in my face. And I'd been in trouble before. Screamed in my face. Why? Why do you have to be this way? You're so weird. And I cried. I was so upset because I want to please people. But I went next door to the comedy club, and that just happened to be next to the Hooters, just by chance. And I was really upset. I just sat there all day in my Hooters uniform still, just with a little windbreaker over top. And that happened to be their amateur night, and I thought, I'm just going to do this for me.
This is real?
Yeah.
On the night that you, the club,
I got fired from Hooters.
Sandwiches, not seals, into the comedy club.
2006.
Wow.
Because people said it was funny. There were a few women. It wasn't until Hooters that people started saying to me, you're not weird. That's really funny.
So you took that chalkboard material and walked it next door.
Yeah, where it was nurtured and appreciated, and it was okay.
How nice.
Yeah. And that was 2006, and being fired from Hooters is the reason that I got into comedy.
I'm told you do a crackingly good Beyonce.
I love talking about Beyonce, and here's why. She is such an icon. People look up to her. She's one of those celebrities who's not in the trashy magazines.
Hmm.
She's like the hero. And I always punch up in comedy. And there are some ridiculous things about Beyonce. And I don't know if I do it on the radio. I think you need to be dancing as well. And I do this thing where it's like her dance. People think that I have a problem with being sexy because I do have a problem with the culture of glamour modeling, not a glamour model, a woman who gets naked in a magazine, being one of the most famous women in England, our most famous role models in England. All of them. There's Katie Price, Jordan.
Okay.
There's this whole Amy Childs, The Only Way is Essex kind of crew. You've got that over here as well. Just girls in magazines have reality shows, and they're very famous for posing. These women are probably lovely women. But
who would know?
Who would know? They don't have a voice. And my whole, my life is my message. I heard that from Matthew McConaughey. He stole it from Gandhi.
Here's one from what's his name? The French mime guy.
French mime guy.
Yeah, I'm Marcel Marceau. My body is my tool.
That's it.
You like that?
I like
so
that.
So you can use that one as well.
Well, my voice is my tool, and I'm so energized by the fact that more women in science, in agriculture, in media as well, in every industry have a stronger voice and presence than before. And so people say, oh, you must have a problem with sexy women. No. I could be sexy too. If you like nights in and a smart mouth, no one does. But I think Beyonce is sexy in the right way. She's sexy as though it's her own idea. She dances powerfully. Yeah, she's got some of her kit off, but it's a different story. And
that's
tell that
really
in my
nice
show.
That's a really nice line. Sexy like it's her own idea.
Yeah.
What a great concept.
What an amazing
well done you.
Idea. Oh, thank you. Thanks.
Yeah, that sharp mouth working for good.
I try to work for good only, benevolent, but I do say some naughty things, but I'm a nice girl.
You've chosen a song. Now, this takes you back to 2006, to your Hooter period.
I love 2006. I was free, lived in Toronto in a condo. I had a cute dog. I worked at Hooters, and I listened to some 2006 music.
Catherine Ryan defines the dream. What is the song?
I, Jonathan, am a goal digger. G-O-A-L, digger.
Nice.
And I think Kanye West provides so much comedy, so much fodder for us all. He said his greatest pain in life is not being able to watch himself perform live. Ah,
how he must ache.
He's now married to one of the most famous women in the world, Kim Kardashian.
Mm.
And we all remember Kanye most fondly from his creative genius that was Gold Digger.
shows it for you this morning. Bye, Catherine Ryan. Catherine, thank you.
Thank you.
Kanye West, Goal Digger.
She take my money when I'm in need. Yeah, she's a trifling friend indeed. Oh, she's a gold digger. Way over time that digs on me. She give me money.
Now, I ain't saying she a gold digger. I'm in need. But she ain't messing with no broke.
She give me money.
Now, I ain't saying she a gold digger.
I'm in need.
But she ain't messing with no broke.